We've got a great pleasure here being visited in Kansas City by now a best-selling author, best-selling business author, George Cloutier, who wrote the book Profits Aren't Everything, They're the Only Thing. So first of all, George, thanks for stopping by Kansas City on your world tour.
Thanks for having us. Kansas City's a great town.
It really is. It really is a great town. Well, I would have jumped right in because I found this book challenging. The subtitle to the book is No Nonsense Rules from the Ultimate Contrarian and Small Business Guru. So that took some earning there to get a title like that.
Over the years, absolutely.
Well, give people a little bit of an idea of your background. You've been kind of known as the turnaround ace.
Right. Business Week was kind enough to attach that as a moniker to me. I grew up in Maine, went to public schools, went to Harvard College, Harvard Business School, because I couldn't find a job after that, and went out on my own right after Harvard Business School working with small and mid-sized companies, which I've been doing for, it's too long to say almost, but almost 30 years.
There's no way to underestimate the impact of small and medium-sized businesses on our economy as a whole.
It is absolutely, it's 50% of the employment base. Some people say 60. It creates 2/3 of the new jobs. It's actually 99% of the exporters in the country. It's 99% of the employers. It's a huge 23 million businesses and 60 million employees. So that's a third to 40% of our total employees in the country.
So if they're carrying the load, George, why are you so hard on them?
I'm not hard on them. I just want them to make money, get bigger, get stronger, and create the employment base.
Yeah, you do take some people to task, though. And just the book title alone is fairly challenging. Profits aren't everything. They're the only thing.
Absolutely. As I said, I'm a little contrarian, or as you said. And most importantly is that many small businesses could do much better, and it really twists my guts when I see them not doing as well as they could.
You take on quite a few standards here. Let's talk about small family-owned businesses. First place, you say, fire everybody that's not you in the business.
Well, that's not exactly what we say, but it gets your attention when we say it. What it really is that too many family-owned businesses mix the family issues into the business. They put square pegs in round holes. They take the wayward son or the wayward daughter.
Or the cousin. Got to find Johnny a job.
We got to find them a job. They put them in the company. And they many times fail at their position in the majority of cases. So then everyone says, oh, my goodness, they're failing in their position. Well, they weren't meant to be there in the first place. So I'm very hard on it. Families tend to mix up the business with the family matters. And my rule is do not mix it up. People shouldn't even know a family member is working there. But when the family member leaves at 1 o'clock on a Friday because they have some social engagement on a privileged basis, how do you think the other employees feel?
Everybody else notices it.
We see a lot of businesses, especially lately, family businesses that are struggling to survive. And they're struggling to survive because they're probably not using their money well currently.
There's a lot of books that are written about balance, life balance, and managing your business with managing your life. You sound like you don't think they should mix at all.
We call that the fantasy books about small business. It's not just about small business. It's a commitment to the business. It's 24 hours a day, as they like to say, 24/7. And balancing family with business you can do after you're successful. But on the way to being very successful and being profitable, there really isn't a lot of time for balance. The fact is the seesaw is you're on the bottom looking up all the time because you're working or should be working.
You also talk about the impact of family on business. And I'm not talking about family businesses here. You're talking about your spouse and children need to know how important or where they are in the hierarchy to the importance of success of the business.
Well, when I was in business school a long while back, the entrepreneurial professor, it was not that big a deal then, but he was the guy. When we entered the classroom, he asked everybody who was married to stand up. They stood up, probably half the class. And then he said to them, okay, now you can leave because you'll fail. So that was the first lesson, and obviously everybody started walking out with long faces.
Yeah.
I was still single, so it wasn't affecting me as much. But I still remember when he said, no, I was just kidding, but I'm trying to give you a dose of what you're going to need to face if you really want to make your business work.
One of the things you talk about, too, that's also going to be a challenge to some of the people that are listening is that golf is a waste of time.
I actually said give up golf in Augusta, Georgia, where they hit.
And that's the mecca of golf.
The good news is I made the evening news. The bad news is that I was ducking eggs for the rest of the time there. You know, I'm an alleged expert. My experience, over 6,000 businesses, when I ask a business owner, how did that golf outing work out? They play two times a week. How's that working? How many clients have you gotten from that? They can't name one. So it's really a chance, and I don't want to say this, but I will. It's a chance to goof off during the week when you should be tending the store. And it was easy the last 5 years, or up until recently, because we had a great party going on in the economy. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the party's over.
Well, I've heard that. It's been in some of the papers. But you don't think that that's an excuse for people to have a hard time. Actually, the economy, you're saying, is just an excuse.
What I'm saying is you can still do well, even in a bad economy, if you've been aggressive in the past. If you've been more aggressive in the past, if you've been more profitable in the past, you might not have as much of a difficult time right now because you'd have more cash flow. And if your sales are off, which they're going to be off in this economy, especially if you're in retail or in the car business, sales are going to be down. But they don't have to be down as much, and you should have been making money all the way down. And many people wait too late.
You're asking people to make some hard choices, which they have to do anyhow. You're just saying take the guilt out of it.
Yes, take the guilt out of it, and I'm only asking you to make the hard choices if you really want to be successful.
And that's almost like an either-nor.
Well, right. So if you want to be in business, as I will say to an audience, the audience we're talking to today, I will say, if you want to have a balanced life, form a nonprofit.
Very interesting. Well, you've got some rules in the book, or at least some rules that you abide by. I wonder if you'd share some of those with our listeners before they buy the book.
Sure. Which ones do you want to challenge
me on? Well, I don't want
to
challenge you on any of them because I think they're all fascinating. One of them that you talk about, wear your control freak badge proudly.
That's a controversial one, but the chapter is about delegate, don't abdicate. So you say to someone, well, will you go call on that client, or I need 10% more sales. And they say, sure. And then a month later or 2 weeks later, they haven't done it. So what I'm saying is circle around every day, make them call you up at 7:30 in the morning and tell you how they're doing. Or if you're having trouble in your production line, or you're having trouble in distribution, or if you're a restaurant and the chef is not getting it lately, he's having a bad run, get your nose into it. Because if you don't, costs of failing are just too high. And then the control freak thing is about micromanaging HR professionals and some other authors who, frankly, have never run a business, usually say, well, don't be a control freak. Let your employees do everything. Delegate, let your employees do it. But you do have to be a control freak because in a small business, whether it's good times or bad times, the margin for error is just too slim.
Yeah.
So you have to circle back and get your nose in it. So I say, I'm a control freak and I wear the badge proudly. And if you don't like it, there's another job down the street.
That brings up an interesting point, George. You are a contrarian, and you're asking other people to be, let's just say, a little bit more focused and a little bit more hard-lined about their business success. If there are people that don't necessarily fit the same aspect or the same philosophy as the boss, they probably aren't going to be a good fit, are they?
If they're not focused on the mission. They don't have to be the same political philosophy. They don't have to be the social philosophy. You don't even have to like them as a boss. This is not about that. This is about the mission of the business, profits first. Now, if you want to run a social organization, as I say, get a nonprofit.
We're speaking with George Cloutier, who is the author of the new book, Profits Aren't Everything, They're the Only Thing. I wonder if you'd just take a look at another rule there. I know it's kind of a famous line, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. You've got a little bit more pointed advice there.
Well, we got all sorts of advice, and I want to say that this is advice that I've watched over 6,000 small businesses. So it's not that I just woke up one morning and said, boy, I'm brighter than everyone else, I'm going to write a book. It's what I've seen. So it's less about me than what I've seen. You collate it, you process it, and you add it up, and it adds up. We have profit rule number 9. I am your work god. Okay, very controversial.
Yeah.
And what it means is not about religion. It's nothing to do with religion. I was a little nervous about calling it God because everyone's sensitive about that.
No.
But the reality is this is just, I am your work god means that the boss is the boss. When the boss asks you to do something, you should do it, and the boss should expect you to do it. You can't believe the number of times I've seen, experienced, where employees are off on their own no matter what the boss says. And that doesn't work in a small business. It can work in a bigger company or a business that's venture capital funded because there's more money to make mistakes.
Right.
But as I say to, and I have this issue, we have people who try to outthink me all the time because I have 150 employees who all think they're smarter than I am, and they probably are. But I've got this little way of doing it, and it works. So you have to be aggressive, polite. You don't have to yell at people. You have to say, look, do it my way. I'd like to hear your opinions. Okay, I listened. I don't agree with it, so let's continue doing it. And don't be subtle. Just do it.
I think there's a lot of time wasted from being subtle.
Well, a small business doesn't have a lot of extra time because it operates on very low margins.
Right.
So you don't have the time as an owner, usually, to be able to take 3 hours a day to be the HR manager, to smooth over issues, to
and the father confessor and the counselor.
Right.
And,
you yeah. just don't have the time. Some people love to do that. That's okay, but you don't have the time, and it usually costs you money.
You say trust no one, and you talk about that quite a bit. Do you have trust issues, George?
Because I've seen people say they're going to do things. I see it every day, and I can't believe that they don't do it. I see mistakes every day. I see common mistakes. I see it in my own business, and it drives me crazy. So, as Ronald Reagan said, a much bigger and a much smarter guy than me, trust but verify.
That's right. Well, let's just talk about where business is headed these days. Are you optimistic about where business is going? Do you think that the economy and the struggles that people are going through are actually tightening up their businesses a little bit, making them a little stronger?
I don't like this phrase, and but there is has been going on for the past 12 months a survival of the fittest situation. And the businesses that are still standing, and many, many, many have failed, but the businesses still standing are going to make it. Okay. So I think if you're still standing and getting by, you'll probably make it. This is the first buds of spring where we're supposedly having a turnaround in the economy. I was at a meeting of several dozen small businesses from Kansas City last night. 85%, we do a little survey at the beginning to so we can talk about it. 80 or 90% said that their businesses were down this year from last year. But an encouraging thing was that 40% of the people present said that it looks better for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
So we may be on the bottom, and as I remind people, if you've gone from 100 to 60, going up 10% is still only 66. But it's on the way up. I think the prognosis is better than it was 6 months ago, but as a small business person, you have to hang on, you have to stay aggressive. You have to cut your costs, continue to cut your costs viciously. This is still going to be a long slog, but you're on the way.
I think that's encouraging that the people that are actually surviving are the ones that will probably continue to survive.
People who are surviving probably made cuts early. They had a little bit of cushion because it's very hard to get money now. It's very hard to find money. And you said that I might be a little contrarian, but I love small business. And one of the best things about small business people is their perseverance and tenacity. It just strikes me every time as absolutely amazing. Businesses that I think are going to fail, that I can look at, and I say they're going to be out in 6 months, are still there 5 years later. I don't know how they got through it, but perseverance paid off.
All right. Some of the people that are probably in business today, in order to survive, they've probably, and even maybe in order to save some jobs, they cut their own salaries or their own compensation. Good idea?
I think it depends on what your level was. We talk about this. I don't believe in sweat equity, which is working for nothing. But if you had a large salary and you could cut it in half so you could keep more people and, as importantly, keep your business running, that's okay. But if you're not paying yourself right now for an extended period of time, there's something wrong in your business that can't pay you. You have value to the business, and you're miscounting the peanuts if you don't pay yourself.
What's the main thing that people are doing wrong out there in running their small businesses? Are they treating it like a hobby? Are they treating it like a lifestyle?
Well, it's always easy to say, what are we doing wrong? And certainly, no one is perfect. I make about 10 mistakes every hour. So I think that the not paying enough attention to the financial matters that are going on in your business, be very tough on having a plan, be very tough on your finances. Small business people tend not to watch their finances because a lot of times the news is not good, and none of us like bad news. So they tend to not watch it as closely as they should. So that's probably the number one issue. And the other thing is not making the tough decisions fast enough, not making a decision about cutting a few people, not making a decision about changing the way you do business, and frankly, not being aggressive on sales, not being aggressive enough.
You talk a little bit about how you pay vendors. I just wanted to take you to issue on that a little bit, because some of those people are actually part of the reason that you're able to stay in business, whether they've extended you credit in the past or whether they move your work to the top of their list so you can deliver it on time.
That's a very controversial thing. You're good to point it out. What we're saying is not to be dishonest, not to be illegal, don't be immoral, but you have to survive. So be careful to pay too fast. Now, I'll give you an example. This was like, you know, the big guy sent me a lesson on Sunday. In the New York Times on Sunday, they reported that Amazon pays its vendors 65 days after they sell the product. So it could be 90 days because they might have this product
in stock.
They paid down their debt from $1.9 billion to $100 million over the last 2 years with that philosophy. So one of the real serious issues is, you're in small business, you're trying to get ahead, you're trying to grow, but you got to watch out that you're not the only one playing the game of paying early. You got to be very careful about that. And right now, where money is very scarce, your accounts payable are one of your last places you have any flexibility. So if you're paying someone in 60 days, call them up and tell them you need 90. You were very right earlier where you said they are part of you and they will help you. They want to do business too. As we say, collect fast, pay slow.
Well, and I think that you're right. I think that even if you're making decisions about the employees you keep, how you pay your vendors, all of it is about the survival of your business, because it doesn't do anybody any good for you to go out.
Especially lately. What do you do if you go out? Well, right now, most small businesses, many small business owners have cut their salaries, as you pointed out early, maybe sometimes too dramatically, but they've cut them. They've used their 401ks. They borrow money over the last 2 or 3 years on their houses, which those loans are way underwater. So what are you going to do if you fail? Failure is not an option, and failure is unless you want to choose to fail. Me, I get up in the morning. I'm not going out to fail. I'm going out to win.
Just one more question, George, about planning. The business plan that you would advocate for business people, is it complex? Is it written in stone? Or is it a fluid document?
Business plans are widely talked about and never used. Okay? You write them for the bank because the bank wants to see a business plan. Most companies don't follow their business plan. You'll be talking with them and you'll say, well, how's it going? Well, sales are down, profits are down. Hey, have you got your plan? Well, we did one in January. It's now 7 months later. But you want to try to get it in writing so you have some firm goals. You don't have to do every little thing in it because you may not have time to do that. If you projected that your sales are going to be down 10% and they're down 30%, adjust to that. Take that 30% and say that's what it's going to be for the rest of the year. And recalibrate, look at your expenses and say, how am I going to get by at 30%?
George, I just have to say, I don't think you're that mean. I think that you are offering fatherly advice. Advice of a trusted mentor.
I'm not that old.
No, I wasn't making you my father.
Just kidding.
But I think that you are offering people permission to understand what's important, and that is their business, because goodness knows we all put our lifeblood, our sweat. It may not be sweat equity, but we put our blood, sweat, and tears in these businesses, and failure is not an option. These times or any time.
Especially now. This is the... And my wife thinks I'm sensitive. So... at least I have one fan.
There you go.
And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to tell. I'm just saying, don't put square pegs in round holes. And if your business, your whole family is depending on you, you wouldn't believe the number of times that I see men or women not telling their family how difficult it is. Because they have it may be ego-driven. They're protecting them. They don't want to admit it. We all have these foibles. You're there killing yourself. So if you want to kill yourself, let's do it right. Let's go for a profit. You can always give back to the community. I think if you check, you know, around, you would see that I give a lot of money back to the community because we've been reasonably successful. I see a lot of businesses that give a lot back. But as I say, if you're not making a profit, there's not much you can do.
Last question. Do you have any fun?
I love it. I love my job. I love small businesses. Last night I had a chance to talk with several small businesses. I just love it. I hate the problems. I love to get in the middle of it. The reason I started was a long time ago, which I love to get in the middle of it. Let's get in there. Let's hit the front lines. Let's get into day-to-day combat and move your profits.
It's a real pleasure, George. The name of the book, once again, is Profits Aren't Everything, They're the Only Thing. No-nonsense rules from the ultimate contrarian and small business guru.
And we have a website.
Yes, that was my next question. The website that they can find out more about you and your
work. The easiest
work.
One is, since everyone has a hard time pronouncing and spelling my last name, it's just turnaroundace.com. Much easier to remember, turnaroundace.com. Or under my name or the book's name. It's on Amazon. It's at your local bookstores. Most bookstores are carrying them. There's some great bookstores in this town, and I think most of them have it.
All right, brag a little bit about your success so far. Tell us how the book's doing.
When I first wrote the book, and even after it published, I was just hoping to make some list somewhere so I could think maybe I was a bestseller. It's published on October 15th, and since then, we have made the bestseller for all business books at Amazon. It's announced today that we made the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. We made the New York Times bestseller list, which comes out a week from Sunday, and we made USA Today bestseller list, which comes out on Monday.
And the book's not even out yet.
Well, it's out. It's been out 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
It's about 2 weeks, and you do get an initial surge, but so do the other 1,000 books that are out there. So people may think, because I'm outgoing, that I'm arrogant or a little aggressive, but I'm actually very humble about this, and I'm just stunned at how we've made these lists. So now I have to worry about keeping going.
I don't think you'll have any problem with that. It's been a great pleasure, George, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.